Turn in your Bibles this morning for me real quick. I want to just give a brief message this morning. Something that pertains to all of us is the control of something that we have. Everybody has one. Most of them are about 4 or 5, 6 inches long, and they stay in our mouth, and it's called a tongue. Oh, boy, do you know that's caused more trouble than anything else on the planet? Well, there might be a couple other things, but the tongue is the real weapon. And I intend today to share something with you that's going to help you overcome putting yourself in a position where you have 90% of them are out of control, so bad that we've accepted it as the norm. It's okay. I hear people cursing and swearing and using God's name and the Lord's name in vain, and I just, that offends me. Don't say that. You ought to look at me like, I said, don't say that. That offends me. If you don't do that, you're compromising with that situation. If you use it yourself, you need to get down and get on your knees. Not accidentally. We don't just say, well, I couldn't help it. You can help it. This morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to a passage found over in Matthew. Well, let's start. Let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Everybody has it, say amen. Let's start at verse 32. And whosoever, who's the whosoever? All of us are whosoevers. Speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be given him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither is the word in the world, neither is in the world to come. I want you to know something right there. You better be careful how you're speaking about the things of God. You can get forgiveness, but there's some things that says it's going to be judged in another world. We have so many people that the devil has used to turn against the Holy Spirit, deny its proper role, its existence. It's even being used. And the last night I stayed up very late watching the Azusa Street epidemic out in California. Did anybody see that by any chance? The whole story was an hour and a half long. Hour and a half. And tell about Azusa Street. They kicked them out of the streets and churches and sent them to a cow barn to have the revival. Azusa Street. I've been out there. I've been to some of those buildings. Out of that come the worldwide Pentecostal people today. We couldn't tell you over 1 billion people that we know of that are spirit-filled today. Speaking in tongues was new to most all of them. And you should say, oh, man, they got the devil in them. They got this. They got that. I mean, the criticism they took, and they were kicked out. I mean, kicked out of the churches and ended up in a barn somewhere. It was a cow barn. They cleaned it up and started holding church, and they had continuous church for almost 2 years, almost every night, 2 years of continuous revival that went on. People coming from all over the country getting filled with the Holy Spirit. This is somewhere around 1914, somewhere in there. Do you know there's been a mighty outpouring of spirit at different times in history, and it's changed the direction of nations and countries? I believe we're in store right now for a coming revival of God that's going to change not only the communities, but it's going to change our country and be a light for around the world. But you know what brought that in was prayer and intercession. We cannot. You know, you can learn all you want to, but if you don't know how to pray and get a hold of God, knowledge is just accumulated. We have so many people filled with knowledge today that have earned multiple doctor's degrees and theology and eschatology and all these things, and you know they're not worth a plug nickel. But you know what brings it down? It's crying out to God for a Holy Ghost move of God. And that's what we want to be noted for. It's not how fancy or how much we have, what we don't have. It's what God has. They went to the upper room, and it says only 120 went up there. But they come out, and then immediately after that, the preacher, 5,000 got saved and delivered. See, it's not an exponential curve. We're talking about knowledge increasing. You know what's going to increase is the power of God. Now listen to this. This is so important that you get this, because your tongue is the key to it. Your tongue is the key to the whole thing. Now look at verse 34. Generation of vipers, how can ye be evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm talking about a heart renewal, heart condition today. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're an evil person, you got evil thoughts and you got evil input into your life. I never thought we would see pornography and all that kind of stuff right in your home. All you got to do is push a button. Can you say amen? Don't mean you have to watch it, but you'd be amazed how many people hooked on those kind of things. They put a plate right in front of you. There it is. All you got to do is look at it. In verse 35, good man out of the goodness treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Or by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Well, that pretty much settles it, doesn't it? Now, you can get forgiveness, but it's got to be under the blood. You're not going to go up there and smart mouth Jesus. You're not going to smart mouth the Holy Ghost. You're not going to smart mouth Father God. I'm going to tell you, it don't take long for people to get ticked off about church and the Holy Spirit. It don't take long to get talking about Bible thumpers and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they go crazy. People laugh and scoff at you. Oh, you're one of those. They knew the power of the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost and how it works in your life. They're the ones missing the whole thing. We've let them kind of isolate us and push us to a side, not being important because we're not of the mainline churches, they call them. Well, you can be mainline all you want to, but if you're not saying the right things the right way, woe be unto you. There's coming a day that this tongue's got to answer for all those idle words. Cursing and swearing and condemning and putting people down and lying. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We're living in a time that we need serious heart talk. Boy, you go to a heart doctor, you know things are serious. I talked with a guy the other day, he said he had 5 bypasses. Our man over here had 5 bypasses. You know your heart's in bad condition when you got 5 bypasses. How about 4? How about 3? See, the whole thing is that's not the heart we're talking about. It's the heart inside of the heart. It's your spirit man. It's your spirit man. If that spirit man's not been revived, not been rebuilt by the Holy Ghost, you are an evil man, evil person by nature. You have a tendency to lean towards sin and grasp it and condone it and accept it. Any kind of language is okay. We kind of make a joke of it. Oh, he's just an old sailor. He talks like that all the time. No, that's a condemning heart. You kind of wipe it off and say, oh, he's just ignorant. He talks like that. No, it's a condemning heart. Use the Lord's name in vain. Some people, it's just so bad. It's hard to believe people talk like that. They use every kind of foul language they can. And in public, they don't care where it is. I mean, they don't care where it is. They use it and say, well, that's just the word. It's your spirit man being trampled and marked down where you can't overcome. You've been defeated by the words of your mouth. You've been defeated. Turn over to Matthew 12. Let's get that real quick. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Somebody find that for me and read it. Read it real loud.
And his fruit, sound, healthy, and goods, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit neither diseased and bad, for the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit. Yes, offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil and wicked? For out of the abundance, the fullness, the mouth doth speak. You offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil within? Verse 35, the good man from his inner good treasure brings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse brings forth things that are evil. Now, I like this one. And I tell you, on that day of judgment, men will have it to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word that they speak.
I want you to take that home for some homework. The renewal. The renewal. There's so many different kind of hearts, and your heart kind of repels through your tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Mouth speaketh. Now, I'm going to run down a few words here that produces what a heart can manufacture in itself, like boasting, flattery, reviling, cursing, lying, mockery, contention, slander, gossip, quarreling, perverse speech, careless opinions, angry words. The list goes on. You have no power in your mind that you're letting go when you start telling people, I'll give you a piece of my mind. Don't do it. You're going to come up short one of these days. You can't go around just telling people what you think, regardless of who you think you are. You cannot say certain things as a child of God. If you do, you're in violation of God's law and God's love. You have no right to say things that people are saying today and thinking you're getting away with it. You're going to pay for that somewhere along the line. He said, if this tree is no good, it's got bitter fruit, tear it down. If this is the fruit's no good, get rid of it. This has no value. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get the words out of your mind, your vocabulary, that have no value to you. Use words like praise and glory and power. Get a new vocabulary. Go to the glossary and pick up words through the Word of God and strengthen yourself by quoting the Word. Now don't get quiet on me. One of the worst things we got in our country today is division over conversation of who did what and when, why and how. It goes on and on. There's never an answer to it. It just keeps going. And let me tell you, it's got to stop. A house divided cannot stand. I said a house divided cannot stand. And that means a government. That means a nation. We'll be overtaken by an enemy. The average American person today has never been into a total communist environment like Russia. Third world countries, go to China, go to these countries and see how they're living. See what you like about that. You go by a meat store and all this stuff's hanging up on flies and things are all over it, and they go over there, cut a couple pieces off of it for you and charge you what it takes all week to make. Those big stadiums that you see, sports stadiums, they're filled with flea markets every week selling little kids' sneakers and baby coaches and underwear and all that kind of stuff for resale. It's not like here. Not like in this country. And yet today everybody thinks socialism is so good. Oh, they pay for everything. Let me tell you something. You know what you get in Russia? Nothing. You want to get $12 a month? You want to get $18 a month? That's what they're up against, and they think this in this country, oh, this is what we got to have. Give it away. Make the debt bigger. We don't care. Education. You know what? Them kids are dropping out of school. I don't care what color they are and what they come from. They don't know enough to stay in school. Just look at Chicago. Look at Camden. It was the murder capital of America for so many years until finally the hospitals went in there and moved them all out, and they're going to little towns like our town all over South Jersey, and they're going by HUD and other places trying to bring it down where it's no longer the murder capital of America. Your tongue is one of your biggest problems. You deal with it daily. If anybody says they don't have a problem with it, you're fulfilling about number four, they're lying. I said it. Most people in America get the idea they can say what they want. Free country, free speech. I got a right for that. God never said that. I said, God never said that. The Apostle Paul reflects his heart, his talk, when he writes in Romans. And Romans 3, I want somebody to find that for me. Romans 3, chapter 10 through 18. There's eight verses there I want you to get. Most people have a proud heart. When you find that, just go ahead and start reading real loud. Romans, all right, hear that? When you read that, now this is the Apostle Paul. This is the top authority on all things that are written. Pride is a directly connected with negative speech and patterns in so many various ways. We may not turn to this one, but Proverbs 10:14 is an excellent verse. pride, arrogance, these things have a tendency to change your behavior. Boasting, the word reviling, arguing, cursing, lying, contention, may all result from one word called pride. If you want to study that, just go over to Psalms 10 on your own time and study that out. All these areas are done to bring you to a covering for yourself. Pride, vanity, arrogance. Don't you see that in the walkway of life today? Everywhere you look, you see it prevailing in the stores and the business places where you do business, where there's just little things. It's ridiculous how people argue over something on aircrafts, getting on a plane, people fighting over a seat that neither one of them are number four, but it's empty seats, two people trying to grab it, and they have to drag them off the plane. You're on your vacation somewhere, and somebody starts something in a place like Disney World. First thing you know, somebody's hurt or somebody's carried out with a gunshot. You don't have to be on some bad town, some bad street to get hurt in this country. You can get hurt right in a restaurant. We have gotten to a place where we've let our mouth control our actions and our deeds, and by verbalizing, we're bringing a war that's going on between a nation and dividing it. And a nation divided cannot stand. All this is coming end time operations. When I see those damaging to those cities from those hurricanes and everything is lost, do you think they're remembering, you know, the feelings they had towards somebody when you lose your home and lose your kids and the rest of it is gone? We're in a day that if people don't wise up fast, they're going to be right in the middle of something they don't want to be into. Caution is the word today. Be cautious what you say. And let me just say this, whether you understand or not, don't talk to everybody you meet about what's going on. It's none of their business, it's none of yours. Don't try to find out something about them, where they're coming from, what's their viewpoint. Don't worry about it. Be yourself. Mind your own business. But no, people got to keep probing and probing and probing. What are you? Who are you? Where are you going? Who are you for? Who are you against? First thing you know, you got a person that's either turned against you or else you have lost a friend. In our little town here, there are families that are divided to a point they don't even speak to each other over politics, local politics, not international, local politics. Mr. Ed's in a contest right now that you see it, don't you? And it's terrible. It's terrible that feelings get towards how they can build up so strong, and they don't even know the truth. They don't even know the story. If we really understood this, our life would be changed. Our life would not be the same. We would walk in love and peace and joy, understanding, revelation, knowledge, and just a human end. You're a human being. Treat them like a human, not like a dog. Matter of fact, they treat their dogs better than they treat their neighbors. We are in a time when our tongues are out of control as a nation and as a world. And that's going to bring in the works of the Antichrist and the works of Satan, where he'll bind these nations up. See, whatever the news of the day is, that's what people want to talk about. And they have very limited knowledge on what the real issues really are. Israel's been a nation since about 1948. They've had people lobbing bombs at them since 1948. It's never stopped. It's never stopped. Sometimes it gets a little less, sometimes it gets more. But from now on, your neighbors, you know, it is pathetic. I'm saying it's pathetic. Does anybody know your neighbor's name? Well, there's three, four. Thank you. Do you know most people don't even know their neighbor's name today? They don't even know who they are. They might see them out in the yard and give them one of these. It's sad. People live in the same building. They don't know who's on the floor above them, who's beneath them. People work on a job, and they got a crew of people there. They don't even know anybody except who's on their shift. Maybe two or three people, four people. You can work in a room with four, five, six, seven people and not really know any of them. Because it comes to a place where we're divided by what we think, even your parents. Pride, arrogancy. Proud people slander righteousness. They slander people that are righteous. You find that in Psalms 59, if you want to go there sometime. Isolation, arrogance, flattery, boasting. See, all these things are a result of pride. And Psalm 10 is what you want to read that and study it over and over and over. Read it to yourself daily for 30 days and say, I'm going to overcome this thing. I am not going to be who I am. Just shut up. Don't let somebody else tell you to shut up because that's going to cause a problem. Shut up yourself. No, I'm not going to get into this. Can I hear an amen? Why do you want to get into somebody else's business? Stay out of it. Well, if I were you, I wouldn't take that. There you go again. Just be quiet. Walk away. Do you know there's things you can say, I don't have an opinion on that? So many people have want to give their opinions. Who cares? Who cares what you think about anything? You mentioned the Holy Ghost of people and the gifts of the Spirit and tongues. And you're one of them holy rollers. You know, all those people go out into Arizona and those places, they get in a desert place, they want to start praying and doing yoga and all that stuff, bringing down these different kind of and spirits and things. And people say, oh, they're so intelligent. That's such a wonderful thing how they go out there and just begin to praise and worship. And they'll see the angels come down. And first thing you know, these spirits have got them so hooked up and dominated and demon spirits that they don't know what they're doing. Oh, you may call a spirit down, but it's not God's spirit when you go out there and leave Jesus Christ out of it. You leave the blood out. You leave the Calvary out. You leave the things that are so important. We got to hold on to the things that are real, the things that are true. I've started looking to analyzing this for months. What I'm coming up with is angry hearts. Come on now, help me out. People are angry. Angry guy goes into a lion's den and a cage, and years ago when Ringling Brothers used to have a circus that went all over the world. And this one lion trainer could go in there and crack that whip a few times. The first thing you know, he had him right in his hand. He did that for several years. But one night at one show, he cracked that whip at a lion. And you know what that lion did? Jumped right off that pedestal down on him and bit him right in the neck and killed him. Somebody's going to bite you in the neck one of these days. You keep saying what you're saying about something. Shut up. You're not going to change it that way. Prayer changes things. Intercession. Love never fails. Arguing fails every time. You leave a loser. You leave no way to overcome that. You just dig in a deeper hole, and you're in a hole already. When you're in that hole and you're down deep, quit digging. The church has got itself even divided amongst itself. Any kind of denomination you think of, no, not that. I'm not, no, no way. And there's some churches digging a hole bigger than they can get out of. I'm going to say this because I think it needs to be said. I am absolutely astounded, embarrassed, and shameful over what's going on in the Vatican and around the world. I don't know who they are. I don't never met any of them. I don't know. I can't judge it. But one thing, the advertisement, the promotion that's going out, I would be afraid to leave my church kids to walk in one of those churches. I mean, today. I said, well, you shouldn't say that. wise up. We perish from a lack of what? Knowledge. They've been hiding it and hiding it until finally the top guys are being called out on it. You know, the Antichrist, and all this is getting ready to unfold. I'm telling you, it's unfolding. And we got to have a heart that's pure. We got to have a tongue that's sharp, but inside of our mouth, controlled. You want a sharp one, but I'll tell you one thing, you want it controlled. If your tongue's not in control, matter of fact, I got something I want to ask Mr. Ed. Come up here, my brother. This is important because the Bible mentions this. It talks about a bridle and a bit. Now, I'm not a cowboy, so I mean, you have to kind of deal with me. What is a bit?
A bit is a, it's usually made of metal that goes in a horse's mouth, and it is made to, for you to be able to control that horse. Now, there are many different styles of bits depending on what kind of horse you have and depending on what you want that horse to be able to do and what level that horse can perform at. A high performance horse, you're not going to get the same performance out of that horse using a snaffle bit that you use when you're just training a horse. So there are many different levels of bits, severities of bits, and different uses of bits. But as I was telling Pastor earlier today, a sensitive horse that has been taught to be sensitive, like we're taught to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we've learned so much more about now how to control a horse with sensitive hands. You have people that ride horses and that are what some people call heavy-handed. And sometimes you'll see people riding a horse, and whenever they touch that horse's mouth, the horse's head's doing that. Well, he's doing that because the person's not sensitive, or they got too severe of a bit or something like that. So the better the rider, and the better match of a bit and hands brings control that is almost invisible to someone watching, where their hands are so, they can be so soft with that horse, with that bit, that you can't even tell he's doing anything. And that's what we strive for as someone that's riding or training horses, is to get to the point where you can be so subtle in your cues, such as touching the bit, that it's unnoticeable. It's not even painful to the horse. If the horse, it's almost like you're riding that horse and that horse can feel that you want to go that way. A horse can feel a fly get on his back. He knows where that fly is just by the fly landing on the hair. So if that horse is that sensitive, he can feel you wanting to turn that way. If you do the same thing every time, he can feel your body move. I want to go that way. So that might be more than you wanted me to say.
I think it's great. This is good. Keep it up. This is good. Thank you. I mean, that what a bit is now. This is the real deal. And it's in there to train that horse to command and be obedient to your command. Left or right, up or down, or start running, or slow down, or walk, back, walk, anything. But you got to know how to control that. And the Bible says that man should have a bit in his mouth that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Not just what you think, what you believe, and, well, God bless God, I can say what I want. Well, if I hear one more person tell me that, I'm going to walk away from them. I'm not going to hit him. I'm going to walk away from them. You can't say what you want and call yourself a child of God. Being a believer, you can't go around bad-mouthing people because you got a mouth to say it. Let me tell you something. You'll find yourself like some of these people God had to deal. Some of them had to shut their mouth for months. You may get paralysis of the tongue and never speak another word. You abuse God and the word of God, and you curse God by your deeds and your actions. Our society don't think nothing of profanity anymore. Nothing. Anything goes. And then there's no respect for any area, anybody. The increase in foul language, television and radio and all these medias that we have, Facebook and all that kind of stuff, it is garbage. Well, I'm making enemies today. And somebody said, why don't you preach over here? I said, I think I will. After that. Folks, we got to realize that our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And your heart's got to be open to God. And rest, let it go. Let the rest of it go. How can anybody insult you, embarrass you as a child of God? You know who you are. It's just easy to walk away and don't get in confrontation. Just avoid it. Avoid it. The Bible says avoid all appearances of what? So why can't you just say, instead of, I'm going to show you I can do this, and you got to eat this whether you like it or not. No, that's not what God called us to do. To be a witness, just, you're out of here, and we're out of time. Folks, so this is, I want you to think about this in governing your tongue. practice this coming week and this month. Lord, I'm going to watch what I say over every situation. Evaluate it. Let it go. And just go on down your way and think about it. Well, isn't that a sad situation? You can't solve it anyhow. All you get is the crumbs off of somebody's dissatisfied opinion. If you take that opinion and run with it, first thing you know, you're going to regret you ever heard that. They're telling you what their viewpoint is, not what the actual point is. I've counseled people for so many years, and finally I got to the point. I said, well, look, your problems are bigger than you want to accept responsibility for. God's your answer, but you want to solve it yourself. Go to a professional counselor over in Delaware. I was giving them, they're $300 a session. Mine was free, $300. I said, and you need professional help. I said, there's nothing I can do for you because you won't accept what I say. What am I going to do, sit there and be an idiot? Say the same thing over and what they want you to do is tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm right. I'll give you $300. That's what they, what's it all about? Stand to your feet with me. I want you to put your hand over your heart today. They're going to pray for your heart, and you're going to pray for your heart. Lord, our hearts are like this ready writer. I want you to indulge in our lives today an awareness of overcoming every situation, being a conqueror, come against slandering, murmuring. Father, we resent and we reject rebellious words, abusive words, deceitful words, cursing words, flattery words, exaggeration. There's so much insecurity and guilt, envy and jealousy, impatience, and a fearful heart that we can't control it. People are speaking and they're saying things that should never be said, only to hurt and harm, to abuse. We come against angry hearts. Renew our hearts with pride, arrogance. These result in bad behavior, evil behavior, perverse speech. Oh, God, help us. We come against boasting, lying and contentiousness, pride, flattery, slander, arrogance. These oppressive threats to families and to children and things like that, quarrels. We come against that and we use your word as a cleansing power to restore us. As we were praying earlier in the service, we're believing to speak the right words. Oh God, send a Holy Ghost revival. Send an old-fashioned revival. Lord, do it again in these closing days. We are a revival center for that. Bring them in. We are in one accord and one mind and one spirit. We speak positively over this area and South Jersey to be an evangelistic center to bring in the lost and save their souls through the blood of Jesus. We declare that this morning. And as we go our way, we go in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.